This is a CKTZ News Update. The Sunday, July 17th screening at Manson's Landing Community Hall is titled Cortez Cinema, Out of the Archives. The films are the work of self-taught cinematographer George Cirk and were shot between 1975 and 1981, providing a look into Cortez Island's past. Cirk describes the range of films and what inspired their production.
There'll be 10 shorts and 2 feature films.
Give us a little rundown on what they will be made up of. What are we going to be treated to visually?
You'll be treated to newly digitized, and some films have been remastered, films from the period of 1975 to 81. I had been given some film by Bristol Foster. My ex-father-in-law had a Bolex camera, and I was so fond of Charlie Chaplin, Jacques Tati, some people know him as Mr. Udo, and Buster Keaton, that I wanted to make some films in their style.
Okay, and what will this range of 10 films be covering?
We are going to be covering dramatizations, zany stories, with a beginning, middle, and end in 4 minutes. So I guess you could say TikTok of the past. The reason I wanted to follow Chaplin's way is that Chaplin rehearsed and then he finally shot a scene and he would rehearse the next scene and then would shoot the next scene right after. So sequentialism. And because I only had 4 minutes of film and it cost $25 per roll, I wanted to follow the same format. No editing later.
I see. So these are just as they were shot.
As they were shot. There's a few that there's a couple of splices in there, but most of them as they were shot.
Now, George, give us some idea of the subject matter of some of these films.
Back then, a lot of people had bathtubs outside with fires underneath. And I thought that was a hoot. And so, of course, we had one too. And John Gregg and Anna Gregg had one. And I thought, bathtub outside in the, I should make some chicken soup in it. And so I put on my graduation suit and climbed into the bathtub, chopped up the vegetables, added a chicken, and had some soup.
I have to say, I saw a still of that image, and you look like a young Mick Jagger.
Oh, some people say I look like Prince.
Okay, celebrity speaks. Now, George, with these films, are you totally a self-taught or did you have any training in filmmaking?
I had been in photography since a kid, and then I had taken a lot of slides with 35 millimeter camera. So I already knew about film and using light meters. And so now into motion pictures, a lot of people actually, Greg, don't know how film works. You run a piece of film through a lens, and if you can run 18 pictures through in a second, the human eye can't tell that it's actually made up of a lot of little pictures, right? And that's what these are. This isn't video or memory cards. This is actual film. And it's a wonderful medium because it's the real thing, right? You actually can see the little picture of me in the bathtub when you isolate one of them.
It's a warm medium, which film is, as I understand, rather than a cold medium, which is what digital is. So it has a whole different mood and feeling, does it not?
Yes, it does. And when you watch films on the TV or on the big screen, one can actually tell which has been done as a digital format and what has actually been shot on celluloid, that what's actually the picture. It's a cleaner, crisper kind of feel. I used the Trey's Super 8 camera in the later films. I went to Super 8 because once again, the expense. And Super 8 is basically half as wide as 16 millimeters. And that camera could do things like shoot moments that even the fanciest digital camera nowadays cannot do. It can do lap dissolves inside the camera. In other words, I could shoot 7 seconds or let's say 3 seconds and fade to black in those 3 seconds. And then the film would be backed up in the camera and then the aperture would be black and it would open up in the next 3 seconds. And then you have one image dissolving into the next and you can do it in the camera. You can do it on a computer, but digital cameras cannot do that as far as I know. So film is a wonderful medium.
And what excites you about offering these to the public? I understand some of them for the first time.
Some of them for the first time. It was a collaboration. Sure, I was the director, producer, cinematographer, writer of many of them, but I didn't do it by myself. I had my sister shoot the camera sometimes. Pierre sometimes shot the camera, was the cinematographer. But the plots, the zany plots, and we're a collaboration, several people, and going, oh, yeah, then we do this, and then we do that. And sometimes it would be an inspiration of one person, and we would create a whole six-minute film around that one person, like Al Murray, the late Al Murray, in Where Does the Lone Ranger Take His Garbage? Du-da-dum.
Okay, now just one other thing, George, and that is that it seems to me from what I've heard about some of the films is that this really, along with being dramatic and at times humorous, but that there's quite a bit of Cortez history contained in these films, which otherwise might be lost.
That's it, too. How many people remember the gravel roads? Simple things in the background of a shot, right? And this is 40 years ago, and a lot of my actors and the people who made cameo appearances are dead. So we're actually bringing them back to life on the screen. It's really quite neat. And I should add that Doug McCaffrey from ScanLab, he digitized all the films. So he's taken them from their film format and made them now digital. And so it's a three-pronged, how should I say, project. The Cortez Museum is involved because they want copies of these films, because indeed they are the history. Like, how did the hippies build houses here back in the 70s? And there's one film called Orange Sunshine, and it's about building houses way back then and how it was done. It's a funny title. That was one film that somehow suffered the test of time. See, most of my films were in cool, dry places, and so they didn't deteriorate. But Orange Sunshine did. The title came after the film was made, and it all got psychedelic all the way through it. And it's quite humorous. And Doug suggested Orange Sunshine should be the name of this one. So it's neat that way. I should add the two features. One is on Maya Farm in 1979. Robert Cabot, who funded a great part of the money to wanted a film made, and we made a 35-minute 16-millimeter film with sound and narration, and very few people at Linnea have ever seen this film. So that's 40 years ago, a little bit over, eh?
And the other film, you said a feature film?
It's on Papua New Guinea. It's the only film that's actually off this island. We go to another island, the world's second largest island. 10% of the world's languages are there. 10%, that's like around 800 languages. That means 800 cultures, all on this gigantic island. And I went there with Isolde Ruthenberg, and we shot, this is a 40-minute film, of what life was like in 1981 in Papua New Guinea. And some of it that I shot has not changed tens of thousands of years. We see two hunters make a fire from scratch.
Fascinating.
It is. And then there's a dance at the sing. And the dancing and all the costumes, all the birds of paradise feathers in their heads. People should Google birds of paradise, some of the most beautiful birds in the world. And the Papuans took that beauty and put it on their heads and on their bodies. And then they danced like the birds too. And we were very fortunate to go into the very back part of Papua New Guinea. And we were permitted, we had permission to shoot there. We were the only non-Papuans there.
Entrance to the Sunday, July 17th screening is by donation, with all proceeds going to the Cortez Island Museum and Archive Society, which will eventually have all the films available on its website. Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.